यशोदानन्दना ब्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना ब्रज जनरञ्जना जमुना तीरावनचारि जमुना तीरावनचारि जैया रथामदाभा कुंज बिहारी जैया राधामदाभा कुंज बिहारी जैया गोपी जन्ना बालाभा गिरिभर धारे जैया गोपी जन्ना बालाभा गिरिभर धारे यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जना जमुना तीरावनचारि जमुना तीरावनचारि जैया राधामदाभा कुंज बिहारि
जयम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिष्यवाद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जयम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिष्यवाद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की गुरंतराश्रिमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदे ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीस टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंग
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, entitled Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation. Chapter 7, entitled Lord Shiva Saved the Universe by Drinking Poison. We're reading today from text 25 to text 29. So we have 26 in the board, so I read 25 and then we read 26 and then I read the other ones. Text 25. Tvam shabdajo nirjagat adir atma pranendriya dravya guna swabhava kalakratu satyanritam cha dharmas
Twajyaksharanjatribrit Amananti.
Translation. O Lord, you are the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes and the Mahatattva. You are eternal time, determination, and the two religious systems called truth, satya, and truthfulness, rita. You are the shelter of the syllable om, which consists of three letters, A, U, M. Text number 26, we can chant responsibly.
Agnir mukante kila davatatma. Agnir mukante kila devatatma. Shitim vidur loka vavangri pankaja. Kalam gatim te kila deva tatmano. Dishas chakarno rasanam jalesham. Agnir mukante kila deva tatma. Shitim vidur loka vavangri pankaja. Kalam gatim te kila davatatmano. Dishas chakarno rasanam jalesham. Agnir mukante kila devatatma. Shitim vidur loka vavangri pankaja. Kalam gatim te kila devatatmano. Dishas chakarno rasanam jalesham.
Please chant.
Thank you. Agni, fire, Mukham, mouth, te, of your lordship, Akila Devata Atma, the origin of all demigods, Shitim, the surface of the glove, Bidhu, they know, Lokabhava, all origin of all planets, Angripankaja, your lotus feet, Kalam, eternal time, Gatim, progress, Te, of your lordship, Akila Devata Atmanaha, the total aggregate of all the demigods, Dishaha, all directions, Cha, An, Karnao, your ears, Rasanam, taste, Jala Isham, the demigod controller of the water. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Father of all planets, learned scholars know that fire is your mouth. The surface of the glove is your lotus feet. Eternal time is your movement. All the directions are your ears. And Varuna, master of the waters, is your tongue. Purport. In the Shruti mantras, it is said, Agni Sarva Devata. Quote, fire is the aggregate of all the demigods. End of quote. Agni is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is through Agni, or fire, that the Lord accepts all sacrificial oblations. Text number 27.
Nabhirnabhaste shvasanam nabhasham suryascha chakshunsi yalam smareta paravatamasrajanam tabatma somo mano diaurbhagavam siraste.
Translation. O Lord, the sky is your navel. The air is your breathing. The sun is your eyes. And the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind. And the upper planetary system is your head.
Text number 28.
Kukshi Samudra Girajosti Sangha Romani Sarvaushadi Birudaste Chadamshi Shaksha Tava Shapta Davatas Datavas Trayi Mayatman Hridayan Sarva Dharma.
Translation. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers, and vegetables are the hairs on your body. And the Vedic mantras like Gayatri are the seven layers of your body. And the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart.
Text number 29.
Mukhani pancho panishadastavesha jaistrim san ashotara mantra bharga yat yattach chivakyam paramatma tattvam deva swayam yotiravastitiste.
Translation. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras has been generated. Your lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the Supreme Truth known as Paramatma. Purport. The five mantras mentioned in this connection are as follows. 1. Purusha. 2. Agora. 3. Satyojata. 4. Vamanadeva. And 5. Ishana. These five mantras are within the category of 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva, who is therefore celebrated as Shiva or Mahadev. Another reason why Lord Shiva is called Shiva, which means all auspicious, is that he is self-illuminated, exactly like Lord Vishnu, who is the Paramatma. Because Lord Shiva is directly an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he is situated as Lord Vishnu's direct representative. This fact is corroborated by a Vedic mantra, Patim Viva Shwets Meshwaram Saswatam Shivan Achyutam. The Super Soul is called by many names, of which Maheshwar, Shiva, and Ashuta are especially mentioned. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyadi Satarine. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So the prayers of the demigods continue towards Lord Shiva. They were directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, to take shelter of Lord Shiva, the demigods. And the demigods and the demons, all of them were directed to Lord Shiva. To be safe from the danger of the poison that was generated by the churning of the ocean of milk. And Lord Shiva is glorified with the prayers that we regularly hear describe the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Vishnu. And Prabhupada explains very clear what we've been hearing consistently throughout the explanation of these prayers and the proper understanding of Lord Shiva's position in respect to Lord Vishnu. So, we have heard that it's quite appropriate for anyone to address Lord Shiva with these prayers when one understands Lord Shiva's position in respect to Lord Vishnu. If that proper understanding is not there, then it is an offense. It is an offense like the offense, the second offense that we chant of the holy name. One should not consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent on the name of Lord Vishnu. So if one does not have the proper understanding of Lord Shiva's position in relation to Lord Vishnu, then it's an offense. But if we have the understanding of Lord Shiva's relationship with Lord Vishnu, the proper understanding, then these prayers are quite appropriate. They're considered very good and very appropriate. And in fact, Lord Vishnu becomes very pleased when Lord Shiva is glorified in such a manner. So, Lord Shiva is explained that is a direct expansion of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu expands as the the three purushas of this creation of the universe, of the material manifestation, as Lord Vishnu. We heard yesterday Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. And they are considered, Prabhupada also described it as, they're described as guna avatars. So their appearance or manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to control the three modes of nature. Prabhupada also explains that both Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, he describes as Shaktyavesh avatars. So they're endowed with the exact potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for performing a particular task. So, so in other words, from their perspective, they are manifestations, direct manifestations of the Personality of Godhead. The proper understanding, it becomes a mistake when one thinks that any of these manifestations are independent or they're greater than the Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And the proper Siddhanta, or the proper the key, like it is explained, the key verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the verse in which the whole Srimad, the whole Siddhanta of the Srimad Bhagavatam is contained, is the verse, the famous verse, Ete Chamsa Kalapunsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So having that understanding of this verse, then everything that we hear in the Bhagavatam makes sense. It is perfectly understood. Because there are certain parts that one, if one takes it like out of the context of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, one will be very confused. For example, in this part of the narration of the Bhagavatam, the position of Lord Shiva is equal to Lord Vishnu from the prayers that we hear. He is considered the Paramatma. He is considered the cause of all causes. He is considered, you know, that all these prayers has been given. So one take it out of context. Oh, here it is. So Lord Shiva is also supreme, which is the claim of Mayavadis. So you can worship Lord Shiva, you can worship Durga, you can worship Ganesh, you can worship Krishna, you can worship Vishnu. It's all good. And you know, there's also so many narrations that are there in the scriptures in which appears very confusing. For example, I was mentioning the other day that in the Ramayana, Lord Ramachandra, who is celebrated as, you know, one of the avatars of Lord Vishnu, the Dasa avatars, he worships Lord Shiva. And therefore, one of the, you know, places of privilege, there's a name of Lord Shiva as Rameshwara, which is the Lord or the master of Lord Ram. Rameshwara, there's a place of, you know, it's a place of pilgrimage in South India by the ocean, where Lord Ram, before building the bridge to cross to Lanka and before engaging in the battlefield with Ravana, he worshiped Lord Shiva. So then he became, you know, that place and that deity of Lord Shiva became known as Rameshwaram. And so Lord Shiva, that Lord Ram, Lord Shiva is a worshipable deity of Lord Ram, people claim. So there it is. So Lord Shiva is supreme. So if we see the things out of context, then it's very confusing. Oh, maybe there, you know, if one put 1 + 2 is 3, so then, you know, one comes to a conclusion. So Lord Ram is Vishnu, Lord Ram worship Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva must be supreme. So maybe we should worship, you know, Lord Shiva like that. But the proper understanding is that actually Lord Vishnu takes great pleasure by glorifying, and he himself takes also great pleasure in putting himself subordinate to his devotee. And, you know, as in so many instances in the Lord's pastimes, he does the same thing. As Krishna, he carries Nanda Maharaj's shoes upon his head. And, you know, he cries, you know, and trembles in fear when he sees Mother Yasoda with, you know, a wooden stick, you know, chastising him. So one can think, oh, what a minute. This is the supreme, no one is greater or equal to him, and he's trembling, you know, seeing his mother whipping stick. So so in many occasions, Lord Chaitanya also, you know, he submit himself to his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, and he's claimed himself that he is in front of his spiritual master, he's just a fool. So it's part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead mood to accept or to take great pleasure in seeing his devotee worship. He says that actually those who worship me directly, they're not, you know, very advanced. But those who worship my devotee, they're very advanced. They're actually my devotees, like that. So so one has to have that proper understanding, and then everything is quite appropriate. So Eti Chamsa Kalapunsa Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam becomes the most important, you know, verse according to Srila Jiva Goswami of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is established that all the different expansions, incarnations, appearance, avatars, they all either direct expansion or expansions of the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan means the original, and that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the Swayam Bhagavan is Lord Krishna, you know, by name. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So so then when these prayers are offered to Lord Shiva as a representative of Lord Vishnu, as not subordinate, not independent of Lord Vishnu, but subordinate to Lord Vishnu, then it's quite appropriate. It's quite appropriate. So then it is explained that the aspect of Lord Shiva that is an expansion of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu expands as Lord Shiva to be able, we heard that the other day in class, to enter into contact with material, the material energy. The Supreme Lord Vishnu never is in contact with the modes of material nature, nor with material energy. But when the Lord comes in contact with material energy, he assumes the form of Lord Shiva. So then the form of Lord Shiva before entering in contact with the material energy, that expansion is called Sadashiva. Sadashiva is also called Hara. And that form is fully transcendental. In fact, that form is spiritual, never changing. So that form is even understood that there is a Vaikuntha planet that is presided by Sadashiva. And we hear also that Sri Advaitacharya, who is Lord Mahavishnu, he is also considered an appearance of Sadashiva, both, you know, Sri Advaitacharya. So that form is non different than Lord Vishnu. But when that form enters into contact with material energy, then is Lord Shiva, Shambhu, which is described in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma, that is when milk gets into contact with a sour substance, then it becomes yogurt. So then that manifestation of Lord Vishnu as Hara or Sadashiva enters in contact with material energy, then it becomes, you know, is a manifestation of Rudra and Shiva, Sambhu, in this material world. So there is one have to have that proper understanding. That's the main message. I want to read a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, in which, you know, so how as devotees we deal with Lord Shiva, you know, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, how do we deal with Lord Shiva? And how we also, when we preaching, especially to the Indian congregation, who traditionally they maybe worship Lord Shiva. And so how we deal with that? Then here's a conversation of Srila Prabhupada. The title of this conversation is, Should devotees of Krishna discourage others for worshiping Lord Shiva? In Naperville, there was a nice couple, a very nice family, and the wife was very much attractive to devotional service and to Srila Prabhupada's movement. The husband was a very nice man, but they were from Kashmir, and they traditionally worshipped Lord Shiva there. And he was of a Brahmin family who for generations worshipped Lord Shiva. So for him was so hard to give up his tradition that eventually that he was too much for him. He couldn't, he took the whole family, you know, in a very respectful way. He was just saying, you know, I just can't give up. You know, I mean, I've been doing, this is by tradition, so... even, you know, with argument, explanations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it was just too hard for him. So here's what, you know, some similar situation that a devotee brought to the attention of Srila Prabhupada. The devotee, Srila Prabhupada, in Winnipeg, there is one very pious East Indian man who for many years has been worshipping Lord Shiva. And his wife is also a very quiet, chaste woman and sincere follower. And so were her parents of Lord Shiva. And he is reading your Bhagavad Gita. He visits our temple. And I have given him the first volume of Canto 4, which discusses Lord Shiva a great deal. And he has read in one of your purports that Krishna is more pleased when you worship his devotee than when you worship him directly. And Lord Shiva is a very great devotee of Krishna. So he has now interpreted that to mean that if he worship Lord Shiva so nicely, then actually he is pleasing Krishna more. So he's experiencing some difficulty because of this. And I'm not quite sure how to instruct him that actually, and Prabhupada, difficulty? And Brahmananda, that our god brother has difficulty in replying to this interpretation that Krishna says, you can please me by worshipping my devotee. And Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna, so therefore this man says, then I should worship Lord Shiva. In that way, I should please Krishna. Prabhupada, but if he accepts Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna, then by worshipping Lord Shiva, he will be benefit. If he thinks Lord Shiva is independent, then he will not be benefit. Devotee, I got him to accept that Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna, but there is no practical instruction in these worldly activities coming. Prabhupada, no. Vaishnavan yata shambhu. Amongst the Vaishnava shambhu, Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. So we worship Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava. He gives respects to Vaishnavas. So why not Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is a big Vaishnava, but generally the devotees of Lord Shiva, they take Lord Shiva as independent God. That is offensive. If you know that Lord Shiva is also a devotee, you can give more respect to Lord Shiva. Krishna will be pleased. Devotee, Srila Prabhupada, he does not chant Hare Krishna, he chants Om Shivaya Namaha. Prabhupada, that's all right. Devotee, is it all right? Prabhupada, he will gradually become a devotee. When God, Lord Shiva, will be pleased upon him, he will advise to worship. Devotee, he is already trying to tell him to follow your footsteps, surely. So just before I left, he said he will try once again to chant 16 rounds of japa. Hare Krishna. He has just tried already. He has a taste for Prabhupada. Prabhupada, if we simply understand that Lord Shiva is a Vaishnava and he worships Lord Shiva, then he will get great benefit. So, who is the real follower of Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva, he is the head of one of the four bona fide Sampradayas of disciplic succession, the Rudra Sampradaya. So those, the devotees that follow that disciplic succession, that the real followers of Lord Shiva, not the Shivais who consider Lord Shiva as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're not the real followers of Lord Shiva. They're actually consider, as per the scriptures, atheists or, you know, actually, you know, non-believers. They're considered like that according to the Vedic scriptures. So the followers of the Rudra Sampradaya, they are followers of Lord Shiva. And the Ruda Sampadaya is headed by the founder of the Ruda Sampadaya is Vishnu Swami, and is considered the most ancient of all these sampradayas in terms of the main acharya was much before than Ramanujacharya, Madhavacharya, and I can't remember the other one. Who was the other? But also connected to the Ruda Sampadaya is Balabhacharya, which was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya during this time. But and I think the philosophy is called Sudadvaita. Sudadvaita means pure oneness. So and it's a Vaishnava philosophy. It's understood, the main deity that is worshipped by the Ruda Sampradaya is in Natadwar, which is in Rajasthan, and is Srinathji. Srinathji, so in some of the temples in ISKCON, we have a deities of Srinathji, which is Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. And they worship Krishna, and they also are pretty much absorbed in trying to achieve the moods of the gopis in terms of the type of exclusive worship that they have of Lord Krishna. So there's more to that. I'm not very known a lot of the teachings of the that sampradaya, but it's a bona fide Vaishnava sampradaya, and those are the teachings of Lord Shiva. We also the head of our sampradaya is Lord Brahma, then Lord Shiva is the head of that sampradaya. So those are some things that we have to perfectly understand to be able to fully absorb ourselves in this beautiful pastime of the churning of the ocean of milk and the great exalted position of Lord Shiva as a direct manifestation of Lord Vishnu. Any comment or questions? Bhakta Marcel.
So, Hare Krishna, I have one question. Since Lord Shiva is the highest Vaishnava, would he be considered greater than Lord Brahma?
What I understood of that is that there is many different levels or levels of intimacy and moods, and in a particular mood, Lord Shiva is the greatest. But then we also hear, for example, Srimati Radharani, there's no one most exalted than her, as a worshipper of Krishna. And then sometimes we hear Govardhan Hill is the greatest of all worshippers of Krishna. So, we have all these different greatest, The all truth, if you see in the particular space or mood that they, represent. So that's our understanding. Yes, back to Jordan Prabhu.
I was going to ask a question a little bit more in detail of the difference between the modern Shivites and the actual bona fide Sampradaya. There's so many people who worship Shiva, even in America.
Yeah.
But are they not, that most of them, they're not actually in the Rudra Sampradaya, they're just deviate deviated from the actual sampradaya.
Correct.
To like Mayavadi,
yeah.
Mostly.
Mayavadis are just, you know, they're offenders. It's not, is act, well, offender is a very hard term to, I mean, we should not use like that, is it, you know, but as per the, I think it's a verse, it's a shloka that appears in one of the Puranas. I have to look for it, but it says that is from what that offense of the holy name appears, that it says that they're considered atheists. In general, you know, those who worship Lord Shiva as supreme, they have demoniac tendencies. You know, that was, you know, from the times of Ravana and, you know, Hiranyakashipu, all these personalities, you know, that they enemies of Lord Vishnu, you know. So then they worship Lord Shiva specifically because Lord Shiva, part of his famous for being pleased in a, you know, Ashutosh, very easy to please, and to receive some material benediction, you know. So the mentality is demoniac, you know. Then demoniac from the sense that they don't want to connect to the personality of Godhead. They want to be God themselves, or they want to be able to enjoy, you know, material happiness like that. So in the case of Ravana, he was worshipping Lord Shiva to become like the most powerful personality in the universe, to become God. And in case of Shiva, is that most of them have this impersonal conception. They worship Lord Shiva for what? To become also God, you know, like that. So that mentality is a demoniac mentality. And if one accepts, you know, rather the disciplic succession of Lord Shiva, then one is directed to worship Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, you know. So then it's all in place, it's all appropriate. Is that an answer? Okay. Any other comment or question? Rasa Mataji? And then Prabhuji. Okay. Yeah, there's a little switch on the side. Can switch it?
So I mentioned for those who struggle with accepting Vishnu as superior to Lord Shiva, there's a practical example, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, how Vishnu is superior, you know, the pastime of Mohini Murti.
And, yes.
So that's one way to try to convince them, you know, that, about that.
Yes. That when Lord Krishna assumes the form of Mohini Murti, Lord Shiva got completely bewildered. And that's the same Lord Shiva that he's so fully controlled that even Mother Parvati trying to agitate him, he wouldn't get agitated in any circumstance. It's fully controlled. He just lost it when he saw Mohini Murti. So yeah, that shows his position. Also, so many instances in the Bhagavatam, you know, the instructions of Lord Shiva to the Prachetas. So he directed the Prachetas to worship Lord Vishnu. And like that, so many, you know, wonderful pastimes. Yeah. Thanks, Prabhu. Rasa Mataji?
Hare Krishna. So, I guess I had two parts to my question. So, one is sometimes when we hear prayers like this, the lines get blurred, as you were explaining, between, worshiping Lord Krishna and then, worshiping his devotees. But I guess where I sometimes get confused is, you always think, well, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, it's like watering the roots of the tree. So all of the, devas and, authorities are pleased. So then why have to worship, his devotees? What's the difference between watering the roots of the tree and not having to directly worship devas, but yet offering them respect, but then worshiping his devotees? It's sometimes as the concepts can be a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one part to my question. And then the second part to my question is, the Lord always teaches by example. So like you gave the example of him worshiping, or Lord Ram worshiping Lord Shiva, just to, teach example of respect and, worship of devotees. But why cause all this confusion? Why not, worship himself and show that he's, he's God? I mean, there's so much confusion sometimes that can come out of these things.
Yeah, I think the principle is that we receive Krishna through Krishna's devotee. That's the principle. And one have to, because it's not just, okay, I got it, and then that's it. Now I have it. It's not just that, it's that we have to be taken from a position of being almost diseased to a position of health. So we have to become purified to be able to fully take advantage of that what we've been given, So the process of, we receive the holy name, we receive the worship of Krishna by the devotee, but then having that, we still need, so much of that protection, guidance, constantly, in order to be able to fully connect to that gift that we've been receiving. So that's how we receive. That's how it's received. That's Krishna's system. So we always have to, it's almost acknowledging Krishna's system and honor it, and if we want transcendental knowledge, do you just not, take a book and try to, get it yourself? You go to Krishna's devotee, tat vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, instruction, that you search for someone who can teach you that, someone who have already understood that truth. And so we honor that. We honor Krishna's, and that's how it is. You learn, you receive bhakti, and you understand Krishna as it is through bhakti, and bhakti is received by the devotee. So it's the connection, and therefore Krishna consistently set that example when he comes, in his human, when he takes a human form to perform human-like pastimes, he always does that. So he submits himself to the authority of a superior, and as a spiritual master. In the case of Krishna, Sandipani Muni became his spiritual master. In the case of Lord Ramachandra, he had, you know, he had a spiritual master, and then he worshiped Lord Shiva as the perfect king. I think the reason was, you know, to achieve victory in the world with Ravana, he needed to worship Lord Shiva. That was that's, you know, so he worshiped Lord Shiva as a deity, you know. So it's examples, set up the examples. But the principle is that we have to receive and we have to acknowledge and we have to be connected to the system that Krishna has established, that you receive through the devotee. You don't receive him directly. It's not possible. You have, what do you think? Yeah.
You know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada uses the material example of if you love my dog, you know, like you strike a conversation with somebody and pet the dog and then like that, because the owner, usually they're so attached to their dog, so you know, then they butter up the higher person, you know, like
right.
Like that. And of course you have to also always go to Krishna through the authority of Srila Prabhupada. So the pure devotee, so Lord Shiva is also a pure devotee, a pure Vaishnava. So by pleasing him, it's a matter of etiquette. You go first to the lower to please the higher, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the fact is that they give Krishna a lot of pleasure because they're very dear to Krishna, you know. That's why we pray to Srila Prabhupada, you know, Krishna Prastaya. Namom Vishnupada Krishna Prastaya Bhutali. She's very dear to Krishna. So they're very dear to Krishna, so Krishna becomes, you know, one, like someone that is, when you have a child, you know, if someone, like what you said, you know, if someone comes, you know, and, you know, really, you know, feels, try to make happy your son, you know, and you become also very happy just to see your son being treated very nicely. So similarly, I think. Yes, back to Eric Prabhu.
Who does Lord Shiva worship?
Who does Lord Shiva? Sankarshan is the manifestation. Specifically, he worships Sankarshan. Okay. Yeah, it's one of the four main expansions of the Chaturbyuha, Sankarshan. Sankarshan also is Lord Krishna expands into Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram expands into Sankarshan, Pradumya, Niruda, and what is it, Narayan? What is the fourth one? I think Narayan, or maybe not. Sankarshan, Pradumya, Niruda, and Vasudev, okay. And then from Sankarshan, then comes another Chaturbyuha, like that. So then that Sankarshan is the worshiper of Lord Shiva. Yeah, it's explained in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. Okay, is that good? Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.